All right, here we go.
Welcome back to What's All That About, a podcast where two cheeky chaps chat candidly about stuff. My name is Kelso, one of the aforementioned cheeky chaps, and with me, as always, is my dear longtime mate, Lush, and co-host, Kerwin. G'day, Kerwin.
G'day, mate. Always a pleasure to hear your voice, and let me say to you, Kelso, a million welcomes to you, sir.
Well, thank you. I do feel welcome, so I'm going to ask you for some advice.
Okay.
Some financial advice.
Oh.
I've had these shares. I think they were gifted to me when I turned 18, and I was wondering if I should cash them in, time to cash them in and come up trumps. They're shares in a stopwatch manufacturer. Should I sell them?
Yeah. Not sure you're going to retire on that big stopwatch money.
Well, I've also, there's actually two sets. An aunt gave me a gift at the same time. They're actually in shares in a torch company.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to cash in and collect.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately, the smartphone, as anyone would know, the smartphone has killed so many of those ventures.
Just thinking, I heard about the amount of time some character got in a film recently, and I thought, oh, they must have got a stopwatch and sat in the cinema, and then I thought, oh, hang on, what's happened to stopwatches?
my these days, if I drop a guitar pick under the couch, I don't reach for the torch in the toolbox. You just get out your old smartphone and hit the torch button, and yeah, I think a lot of, you know, I always used to make sure I had a torch always ready to go. Yeah, now they never use them.
I mean, it was an integral part of one's life, wasn't it? Had some torches around.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I had to, like, was part of a search party, I'd probably bring out the big torch from the toolbox. Yeah, because I don't think the little light on my phone would really cut it if I was looking for, like, you know, a lost child in the bush at night, you know. I would require the big ever-ready, the big dolphin torch. I don't know if that's an international thing, but the big heavy-duty.
Have you men found anything? We ain't found shit!
We need a bigger torch. And, of course, for dear listener, the maybe Northern Hemisphere might refer to a torch as a flashlight, just so everyone is on the same page. I believe some people might have been thinking we're walking around with a flaming stick.
That was our ancestors.
Exactly, yeah. Although that would
flaming
be good for
sticks to candles, to torches, to smartphones.
True. It would, actually, a flaming stick would be good for a search party, though.
Well, depends what you suspected kidnapped the child. If you thought it was some sort of monster living in the castle at the top of the hill, definitely some lit torches would be great.
Well, yeah, well, they really do throw out a bit of light, those lit torches.
But hard to handle.
A little bit unwieldy.
Yeah.
There's a safety factor as well, obviously. Mm-hmm. You could easily singe your facial hair or, you know, something like that.
Or your neighbours.
Exactly.
Upset the blacksmith, you'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't. That's what was a good thing. Hairspray wasn't around back then. would have been a lot of Michael Jackson moments. Not that Michael Jackson moment. The one where he had his hair on fire. I mean.
All right. I thought you were going to suggest there were two Michael Jacksons all of a sudden.
No, there's only one.
It was quite important as a kid to have a torch. I remember always having some sort of torch when I was a kid, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me it was like part of, had to have a torch and a radio and a magnifying glass.
Is this why you formed your junior detective agency? No case too trivial.
I was my own on Encyclopedia Brown. Remember that guy?
Mm. I remember hitting you up at school one day to look into a case, and you said, right, I'll be right round. I've got to pop home, get the torch and the magnifying glass.
And my handheld transistor radio just for some tunes while I'm figuring out the case. You know.
Well, you might want to listen to the local news, see if there's been any developments. That always seems to line up.
Exactly, yeah. But it was mainly for lighting fires. The magnifying glass. I didn't really do much investigating. It was more just to focus the sun's...
Instigating. So rather than solving crimes, you were causing crimes.
I was. Minor crimes. If burning my name into a wooden electricity lamppost thing was a crime, then arrest me.
Oh, right. You weren't starting fires. You were inscribing with the power of the sun.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I was singeing. I think. I think there's a proper word for that where you like...
cauterizing?
Cauterizing, yeah. Isn't there a thing?
That's for flesh.
But there's a craft thing where you sort of burn into wood. Yeah. What's that thing called?
Yeah, let's call it wood burning.
Wood burning? I think we could do better. We'll say wood burning for the purposes of this story, but yeah, I that's what I would do, or just burn little holes in dried leaves, nothing too.
But
crazy.
what was the torch for?
Well, the sun goes down, the magnifying glass is only good for 12 hours a day.
And then, are you telling me there's enough power in a torch if it's focused through a microscope?
No, a microscope, a magnifying glass.
To etch your name into a telephone pole.
No, I wasn't that bad a pyromaniac. I was just sort of saying, once the sun goes down and the magnifying glass fun is over, now it's time to have some good old-fashioned torch fun.
Right.
Like that thing where you put the torch in your mouth and your whole cheeks glow.
Classic.
All sorts of stuff. Or do the torch below the face, the leprechaun, scare your brothers, that kind of stuff. Torch was, there's so many different uses. Illuminating an area was probably the what I used it for the least.
Mm. Well, a lot of time as a kid was spent, as I recall, testing how slow the cassette deck ejects from a boom belt box.
Right, yeah.
And comparing strength of flashlights or torches.
Yeah, so you're right. I was a big fan of that. You could tell the quality of a cassette deck by how slow it ejected when you push the eject button. If it sort of... The first time I ever saw that, I felt like we were living in the future. We're no longer living in the present. I felt that we had, made a huge leap forward as a species when I saw that for the first time.
As that popped out, you turned to your brother and said, I feel like I'm in 1994.
Because my cassette deck, for ages, you push the button and the thing would go straight out.
Poke you in the eye.
It was so severe,
If you weren't careful, the tape would eject and you have to catch it.
Like the toaster.
Whoa!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when I first saw that, I mean, imagine the guy. I assume he was probably somewhere. He must have been Japanese. He would have been. Because all the cool cassette decks were like Sony or something like that. So there must have been this guy that had this brainwave that he thought the little thing that holds the cassette just comes out way too quick. Let's slow this down. Let's, we're rushing into it. Let's make this.
Well, they were looking at ways of how can we differentiate our boom boxes? We've already, everyone's already got it to the right size to carry on your shoulder. We've had the flashy colors. What's next?
Mm. Slow moving eject buttons. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
What else was on your criteria list for your dream boombox?
Well, cassette.
I'm assuming dear listener knows what a boombox is, right?
Well, if they don't, maybe you could pause the podcast right now and quickly Google it, because I feel like we're going to talk a little bit on this topic.
Similar to a ghetto blaster.
Yeah, I think would it almost be the same thing, just a different name? I would say yeah.
Sorry. That's the point I was making.
Okay, so for me, besides the slow ejecting thingy, I would like a double deck, like two double things. Disc. So you can borrow your friend's you know, AC/DC cassette and copy it, you know.
Right, of course.
The twin cassette deck. So it was great for, it was basically the early Napster and torrenting.
Definitely.
Yeah, you could avoid the cost of buying a cassette and just borrow it off your friend for a day and have your own slightly less quality version of it, you know.
Yep. And just hope that you put the labels that you need to, you can apply onto the blank tapes in a careful place when you first unpack them. Yeah. I can never put my hands on the labels you needed.
One of my favorite things to do if I did actually, we used to call it dubbing. If we could dub someone else's, you know, original cassette, is that I used to love making my own cassette cover insert.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I wouldn't just do the, you know, get the stock standard one that came with it and just write the song tracks down on it, you know. I would actually, you know, out of some decent paper, cut out the thing and make a cover for it. Or if possible, try and recreate the cover of the album. Ooh. Yeah, no, I had a lot of time on my hands.
Right.
Did you ever do that? Did you have like a collection of pirated cassettes, you know?
Not that I recall.
Yeah, I don't think Warner are coming after us. I think they've pretty much put their cassette money. Well, it's gone the way of the stopwatch.
Yeah. No, not that I recall. I think we had more tapes recorded off the radio, of course, a favourite.
Yeah, the old keep it on record and pause. And leap across the living room if you know, the start of Wah-Wah Knee Stimulation.
Well, once I rang up the local community radio station and requested Wicked Game by Chris Isaac, and they said they would definitely play it. So I sat hovering over the pause button for a good 2 hours. Nothing.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that I was a DJ at that community radio station of which you speak, and we didn't take kindly to requests.
Well, they shouldn't have answered the phone.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't like one of these cool, like the proper professional ones. Finding a song in the community radio record library was a real hassle. Because most of the time, people that were other DJs, and often people like teenagers like me, would take home their favorite records and maybe forget to return them.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't always there.
Once you put it back, you didn't file away properly either.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I know. So it was a bit haphazard, and they didn't really have everything anyway. So I'm afraid there may not have been a copy of Chris Isaac's Wicked Game, and if there was, it was probably sitting in someone's house and not in the record library where it belonged. But did you, I think...
Great song.
Yeah, I think you made one appearance at that community radio station, didn't you? I'm sure I heard you one night doing the late night slot with a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, I did come in for one overnight slot.
Right, and you didn't really didn't take? You went, didn't...
I believe this was at the end of the whole thing you could do through the school, so there was no opening, so to speak. They didn't offer me drive time.
They didn't hear you and go, who is that? Get him in here.
I don't care what I cost.
He's got some anecdotes, this guy.
Now, have you ever seen a boombox with a strap on it? A strap wasn't an item you needed?
I never saw one, no. I mean, I know they exist, but I never saw it. I think those
You've got your carry handle, of course, but like a canvas strap.
Yeah, yeah, because we're talking the maxi ones now. I didn't know anyone that had that, you know. Yeah, I think that was something more for the big cities. I never saw one of them. I mean,
you're right. I think I probably saw it in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were just, you know, a couple of honkies. We didn't have access to those really big boom boxes. Yeah, I was lucky to look. Like I said, my cassette, the eject button came out super fast.
As long as you're ejecting Van Halen's Jump, it made sense.
Might as well jump! Hey!
Now, what about the boomboxes that had equalizers on the front? Is that what they're called, those little buttons that you can push up and down?
Yeah, yeah, the graphic equalizer.
Yeah, graphic. Why were they graphic?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Why are they graphic?
You got me there.
Because I'm sure they didn't disappear with the boombox. People are still equalizing graphics.
Well, it is weird because...
Maybe because you can see it. It's like a visual indication of where the...
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Yeah, well, listener, can you help?
The thing is, they pay in these recording studios guys, these professional guys, lots and lots of money to make a song sound the way it should anyway. So... And then you give some some idiot access to the... Now, you know what? This song needs more bass. You know.
As he's playing in a parking lot outside a skating rink in 1984.
Yeah, the thing is, most people don't know about frequencies anyway. So those graphic equalizers, was you just sort of pull the mids down, push the bass up, that's it. You know.
So the thing is, if you're going to have a ghetto blast that's showing off in the skating rink car park, you've got to have a play around with those knobs, otherwise you look silly.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like DJs now. You got to be touching those knobs all the time. You're not actually doing anything, but you got to make it look as if you're doing something. So I guess that was same school of thought. But I did have one of my later cassette decks had a 3-band graphic equalizer. So only 3.
What does that mean? 3 knobs.
3 sliders. Yeah, that's all it had. And it didn't do a great deal. It really just made it, it should have been, I don't know what the frequencies were, but it should have just said, less muddy or more muddy. That's all, because that's all it did, you know. Slightly.
Have you
less
thought
muddy.
About asking Kenneth what the frequencies were?
For sure.
That's a deep cut, dear listener, I think. Is that a Smashing Pumpkins reference or something
that's
like that?
That's R.E.M.
No, R.E.M.
Yeah.
R.E.M.
Yeah. Great song, though.
Can you, is that something you can bash on the guitar? I was going to ask you to play Wicked Game, but that's probably too much to ask.
No, well, actually, it would probably be easier to do Wicked Game than What's His Frequency Kenneth. Only because I don't
Isn't
really know it that
a
well.
A bit of a reverb?
A Wicked Game requires Yeah, but I can make that happen. Do you really want that? Is that what you're saying?
Why not? Oh, I love that song, yeah.
All right. Let me just get my guitar that's... near me, but not quite at arm's reach, unfortunately.
Get me.
Unprofessional. Okay, here we go. I want this swimming in reverb. A la, okay. Yeah, I was dripping. Here we go.
Smooth.
A little snatch of Chris Isaac there.
Oh, I do love a little snatch. Chris Isaac associated or not. Such a haunting song, I'd say.
I remember the first time I ever heard it on the radio, I remember just stopping my tracks. This is so lush, so velvety.
You stopped and got off your scooter.
Immediately, pushed the eject button on my... cassette deck.
Now, I spoke over to you earlier when you mentioned Encyclopedia Brown. Let's get back to Encyclopedia Brown.
All right. Okay. I do remember him.
Yep. So What was the story? He was a detective as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a school kid, detective. Used to solve pretty minor petty crimes like missing lunch money, that kind of stuff.
So kind of like the Hardy Boys, apart, but it was just one of him.
Yeah, but I can't really remember too well, but I seem to that there was always a clue somewhere. So it was, I don't know, the stories were a little bit more hands-on as far as the reader solving the crime as well. Mm-hmm. You know?
And were they really formulaic? By what I mean is Hardy Boys, every story is almost exactly the same. So you kind of know what's going to happen once you're old enough to realize they're written to a formula?
Kind of. I think with the Hardy Boys, which I haven't really read much, but I'm assuming there's a lot of smugglers with the Hardy Boys.
Well, the way it worked in the Hardy Boys is that at the start of the book, they had a fat friend called Chet, I think his name was. I think I'm talking about the right thing. And maybe this was Encyclopedia Brown. Anyway, he'd always have a new hobby at the start of each book, and then that hobby would help them solve the crime near the end. And then also the Hardy Boys' father was an FBI detective, and they'd learn about what he was working on, which was completely unrelated to their story, their mystery, until the very final scenes, where it turns out they'd cracked the bigger case, and as they solved it, then all of a sudden the FBI and their dad turn up and go, oh, well done, boys.
So give me an example of some of these hobbies that Chet was into.
Oh, you know, it would have been like kite flying and whittling and, I don't know, that type of stuff. I can't remember any specific ones. I imagine boom boxing would have been one.
Oh, my God. So, I guess maybe it was detailed in the book. So, he was the fat friend, did you say?
Pretty sure he was.
Okay. Right.
I'm going to have to Google shit in case the listener gets annoyed with me.
So, he was like the friend that they sort of tolerated, obviously.
And like sort just because he was fat.
Well, no, I mean, that. Like, well, they're deriding him because he, like, you know, pick a lane, Chet, you know. Like, if you're into kites, just stick with it, you know.
There we go. Chet is referred to in the Hardy Boys series as Big Boy, Fat, Plump, Chubby, Stout, Heavy Set, Chunky, the Chubby One, Portly, and Round.
Wow. Jeez, wow. Poor old Chet. When were the Hardy Boys novels written? Books.
Good question.
Novels.
Well, the first was 1927, but so I'm going to guess.
Right. Wow. What
great American name there, Chet.
Chet.
Of course, as well.
Yeah.
Chet tends to pick up new hobbies each book, and sometimes they're connected in some way to the mystery in the novel. So I was right. So that's something I haven't thought about for about 30 years, and it's amazing what you can recall.
1927. So they weren't averse to fat shaming back then.
No, they certainly were not. They called a spade a spade.
There was no who cares about people's feelings in 1927. That's amazing. I didn't realize they were that old. I thought they'd be 50s or 60s or something, because I've never read one. But
I won't get into it, but 1927 to about the 1970s, and maybe someone took it on. A new Hardy Boys series in 87. So, yeah, there you go.
I feel like I'm missing
Hardy Boys. But Encyclopedia Brown was good too, because it was a bit more low key. And the reason why it sticks in my head though is one of my favorite podcasters, Nick Mason from the Weekly Planet. His Twitter handle is Wikipedia Brown.
Nice.
Nice reference.
Clever.
There.
Clever. Yeah, that's a real tip of the cap to encyclopedias, Encyclopedia Brown, Wikipedia, and the color brown all at once. You know, that's pretty good.
Well, there's a reason why he's an internet celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're burgeoning internet celebrities. I think burgeoning is probably... Yeah, that's fair to say.
talking about other things that as a kid you're fascinated with for no real reason. I was fascinated with ball bearings. All bearings were always being bought to school and compared with and traded. Don't you think?
Well, I mean, I did have some ball bearing experience, yeah.
Ball bearings were something you really wanted to get your hands on as a kid, as I recall.
Well, they were a fascinating thing when you think about it. Because in every class, there was one kid whose dad had some pretty easy access to ball bearings.
Yes, I never understood that. I still don't.
Well, because, you know, the the kid with the dad who always had dirty fingernails, you know. Pretty good with the spanner, that kind of guy, you know.
Yeah. I suppose, looking back now, yes, you'd have to be involved with ball bearings.
Yeah, look, I mean, at my house, my dad's shed, it was a pretty decently stocked shed. But, yeah, we were pretty low on the ball bearings thing. But I imagine that some people's shed, it would have been like a wash with ball bearings of all shapes and sizes. Like, I like the, you know, the little ones that look like those shiny cake, silver balls on cakes, you know.
I know those things.
Yeah, I had a lot of those. But, you know, you had the kid that whose dad obviously maybe owned a tractor or something like that. I'm not sure how it relates to it, but they seem to have the bigger ball bearings.
Right.
Yeah. Did you, what size ball bearings are you talking here that fascinated you?
Yeah. Well, I don't think I ever owned any ball bearings, but whenever ball bearings were bought out at school, it was like a scene of fascination.
Right. Well, I do remember one of the naughtier kids had ball bearings and would fire them in a slingshot at birds.
Ooh, that is naughty.
And then he was told by the principal of our primary school that possession of a slingshot carries the same penalty as possessing a pistol.
My goodness.
Yeah. So that was the end of that.
Did he rush out and upgrade to a pistol?
No, I believe he was raped in prison.
Should have had that pistol.
Even the ball bearing would have, you know, something. Throw down some ball bearings in the prison shower and all the toughs kind of slip over, you know.
Kerwin, Instagram, what's all that about?
Well, I could probably tell you a little bit about Instagram, but I know that you don't know much about Instagram because you only just got on it.
That's why I brought it up. I just don't understand how it fits in.
How it fits into your life or the world or both?
Both.
Both. Well, how it fits into your life is it doesn't. It's, do you know, okay, this is how I describe it. Do you know back in the old days when you're on the toilet doing, you know, some serious business on the toilet, you'd pick up a magazine, you know, and flip through
magazine
it.
Rack.
Magazine rack. Yeah. Maybe, you know, crossword puzzle. Maybe the sports section of the newspaper.
Maybe a Viz annual.
Exactly. You still got one in there. Not in great condition, I should add.
Surprise. They always got a little bit water damage, didn't they? Let's call it water damage.
Exactly. I guess what people do...
There are, of course, some people who that whole idea of a magazine rack in the toilet is really freaks them out, which I could understand nowadays.
No, well, yeah, I have removed the magazine rack. The Viz comic is more on the way in. You pick it up.
Now, you read an article in Gentleman's GQ, did you?
I did. Quarterly. Yeah, toilet magazine placement should be outside the door, not inside. Yeah.
Toilet magazine racks are out this year.
Yeah, too much splashback. it ruins the quality of the paper.
Does remind me, sorry to interrupt again, I was...
Go for it.
About 15 years ago, someone sent me a PDF, and it was similar to the game. I don't think it was the game, but it was in that direction. And I read the first chapter, the first two chapters. And I always remember that the guy told you, part of the instructions to, you're supposed to be a guy reading this manual, is that go and have a shower and clean your body like you normally do, then do that two more times. Really, distinct instruction. He says, you do not want to smell on a date, so do what you normally do in the shower, but do it three times.
Ryan, okay. How stinky do people get? One shower.
Maybe if you're a young buck, you know, you just jump in, jump out. I know I've been guilty of that in the past.
Well, yeah, me too. Like a quick dip before bed or something like that. But if, yeah, pre-date, obviously, you got to give yourself a decent scrubbing. Everyone knows that. There's nothing new there.
Well, there are, of course, certain areas that you just let the water get to.
That's true. You know, I actually have never soaped up certain areas unless I'm really filthy. Like, when I'm in the shower, I don't soap up my calf muscles. I just let the runoff take care of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Instagram. yeah. So what is that all about? You ask.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand why does it exist when there's say Twitter and Facebook? Why not? Where's the underlap?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I think I've had a few chats to people about this before, but even in this very moment. I've just had this thought that you know, when there was very clear lines of, you know, your big three or four social media apps like Facebook, Twitter, I guess Snapchat and Instagram, they, years ago, they were very clear what they did, and they sort of kept their own boundaries. But there's been a lot of overlap. Now Instagram does a Snapchat thing. So does Facebook Messenger. So there's a lot of, you know, and you know, the Facebook, when it really took off, seemed to rip off Twitter a little bit with that whole what's on your mind section when that first appeared on Facebook. So there is a bit of cross-pollination with a lot of those apps, mainly because they're probably all owned by the same person. I could be wrong. it does seem that way. I know that Facebook and Instagram are both, well, Facebook owns Instagram. I know that. But one thing I do like about Instagram, and it was this way when it first started and is now, it is a place to put cool photos if you are that kind of person that has a phone with a nice camera. You can take a decent photo, put a nice filter on it, and it's like a little artistic photo album if you want. That was the initial thing, and that still does go on, but it's sort of expanded.
But there's always been albums in Facebook, right? So why not just load them up to Facebook?
Well, they just look better on Instagram. It kind of looks like a collection of really nicely taken Polaroids. That was that's how it seemed to be when it first started.
Instagram was providing the filter.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, because Facebook didn't do that. I mean, it does now, I think, maybe. But Instagram was the first thing that put these cool little filters on it and made it look like it had a real professional look to it, you know.
That rings a bell now. So you didn't need that sophistication on your phone that was in Instagram.
That was in Instagram. I'm sure there's heaps of stuff that do it now, apps that you just download.
You're right.
But back then, and still now, Instagram has some really nice filters, and that was part of the appeal, is that you could just take a snap of your a sunset and roll on a couple of these different select a filter, and suddenly it looks like, wow, that actually looks like an album cover or something, you know. And yeah, so that was the appeal, but it's since become a bit more of a tool for self-promotion, I think. Like a lot of social media apps, it sort of starts as one thing and then it becomes, you know, people figure out ways to sort of game it and use it and even monetize it.
Yeah, I mean, social media and its underlying, one of its foundations must be self-promotion, really.
Yeah, look, when it comes to Instagram, I am a minnow in a pretty big ocean. And I'll get my Instagram out right now and just give the dear listener an idea.
Get the Instagram out.
My Instagram is up on my phone. I'm looking at it right now. So I have only 60 posts. 60. That's not very many. I have 108 followers and I'm following 154 people. That is nothing. I'm basically, you know, square one in the Instagram game. But I have to say, of my 60 posts, I like it. Some fairly decent pictures there.
So how do you decide when you're going to put something on Facebook versus Instagram?
Well, I personally don't put hardly anything on Facebook anymore. I think Facebook has just become this pervasive force, and even though I still am on it, and I have a business page on Facebook because it's just the way of the world. When I do personal things or things that I like, I tend not to post them on Facebook. I put it on Instagram, which again is so dumb because Facebook owns Instagram, but that's just how I do it. You know, it's just it's stupid. But
it's a different audiences as well, perhaps. You've got more family on Facebook and more friends on Instagram?
It's
obviously there's an intersecting set.
It's different for everyone, because remember there was a time on Facebook where you just accept a friend request from anybody, so the people that you could be friends with on Facebook are so random and weird, and you've got your auntie as much as some guy you talked with once at the pub when you were drunk, you know. Whereas Instagram, it's a little bit more controlled. For me, I'm sure it might be different for other people, but...
I thought Facebook would have been more curated.
I guess that's where it's different for everybody. But look, I know people that have, I know a person that has almost close to 1 million followers, and that she lives in a totally different online world than I do. But it's an interesting thing. So, but I can divulge to dear listener that I made Kelso get on Instagram, and he has. So can you read out your stats? So I had 60 posts.
I'll get out my Instagram.
If you get out your Instagram, that'd be fine. Yeah, 60 posts, 108 followers, and I'm following 154 people or entities.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see. In no particular order,
I'm following 11 people, I've got one follower and zero posts. So fair to say, I'm dipping my toe in the water.
Dipping, yeah, and then running back. Ooh, it's too cold.
Now, what's interesting is the first person I followed was a person who you brought my attention to, who a lady influencer with particular attributes which made her perhaps attractive.
She had
to
big
follow.
Tits. She had big tits, is what you were trying to get at.
Lots of tattoos. Okay, mainly tattoos.
Right.
So I followed that. That was the first person I followed, and I only followed them for some time. Now Instagram thinks I'm in love with tattooed women.
Yeah, I had the same thing, because when I followed her as well, because I knew her in real life. Suddenly I'm getting all these, people following me or suggestions from, biker babes or, inked up hotties,
And all I'm really interested in is horny singles in my local area.
Did you ever find any of those horny singles in your local area?
No, they promise a lot
and don't really deliver. Do they?
Yeah, they seem to be wanting me to jump through a lot of hoops, like going to some other website and entering my details. So kind of gave up.
Who's got the time for that? Sure. The first, 10 or 20 times you do it, it's not much of a hassle, but it starts to get a bit much after that. I'm a bit more active on social media because my booking agent tells me I should be.
Oh,
yeah.
I like to think when you walk into his office, he's got a little graphic on the wall indicating how you've been performing with number of tweets, number of posts, number of likes.
He marches into my office and kicks my feet off the desk and tells me I have to straighten up and fly right on my cubicle. Comes into my cubicle. tells me I've got no future in this business if I keep up this bullshit.
Have you ever said to him, look, I'd like you to act more like these characters I've seen in movies, they're really flamboyant and over the top. I could try that.
He's not technically my employer, but he does supply me with an income, but it's one of the few situations where my boss is a bigger goose than I am, so...
Goose.
Yeah, he's a goose.
I don't always find that funny when insult. Goose is a funny insult.
It's a great insult. I remember describing it in a group conversation, talking about a guy who was a bit of an idiot, and I said he's a real goose. And the guy sitting next to me looked at me really seriously and said, "That's a great word to describe him." It's like I rocked his world by calling this fella a goose, because it's like, that's exactly what he is. He's a goose.
Yeah. Just hits the ear right. Mm-hmm. Now try it out, dear listener. Yeah, what a goose.
Yeah, take a gander at the goose.
There you go. Two for one.
Exactly. But I've heard of this new app, and it's called TikTok. And
yes.
Now I'm, you know, because you have what, zero followers following one person, and you've got one follower and you're following 11 people.
Yes.
So you're basically, you know, you literally a toenail in the water.
You want to hear who I'm following?
Who?
Well, yourself, of course.
Yeah.
A couple of girls from high school.
Okay.
A couple of podcasters, and then you're like this, The Rock. For some reason. I mean, he's pretty fine on social media. Because I was just, you were teasing me about not following many people, so I thought, oh, who's
The Rock?
But then I've also got The Rock.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to follow The Rock. Hang on, I'll just bring up Instagram here. I need to follow The Rock.
Does a lot of promotion, I'm afraid. It's not much insight into his character.
Is he just The Rock? Is that, here he is. Yeah, The Rock. There he is.
The Rock.
Well, he's a bit more hardcore. So he's got 4,731 posts. He's following 341. So only 341 people in The Rock's world is worth him looking at. But yet he has 168 million followers. Well, now 168 million and one. Bang. Following.
Yeah, you want a good ratio. You want that ratio to be good. But then the other two people I'm following are two sitcom stars that I've fallen in love with in the last 6 months.
Oh, yeah, who?
The first one, do you know Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
I do indeed.
The lady who plays Kimmy Schmidt is a lady by the name of Ellie Kemper. Quite fond of her.
Yeah.
And then there's a show called The Middle, which is not quite so popular. But there's a teenage girl. Well, she's an adult woman now.
Oh, dear.
She plays a teenage girl. Eden Shah. I've got a big thing for her as well. Woof.
Right, okay. Well, you know what's funny? Because I just followed the Rock, right? And whenever you click on somebody, it shows you who of your friends on Instagram are also following The Rock. And
following
I'm surprised to see how many people also follow The Rock. It's a real rogues gallery. I'm looking down at these names. Look at these people. There's like, how many do I have? Like 100 followers. 26 people follow The Rock. One quarter of my followers also follow The Rock. Okay, fair enough. Wow.
That's one of the things he's known for, though, isn't he? He does really leverage social media, as I understand it, the old Dwayne.
Yeah. He does have some personality. I mean, this is what his profile currently says. The Rock, Mania, Gratitude, Tequila, Tickets for the Jumanji movie. Click here. Yeah.
So, he doesn't mind a bit of self-promotion. That's what it's all about, I guess.
Well, I mean, when you get The Rock, you get his 168 million Instagram followers as well. That's what you pay for.
So TikTok, isn't that a replacement just for Vine?
It is. I'm glad you said that because I was also wondering if that was the case, but I think you're right. But it comes a bit more sort of fully loaded with stuff that Vine couldn't do, I believe. And the only reason I brought this up is because I am where you're at with Instagram. I'm not even there yet with TikTok, so I haven't even got a toenail in the water yet, and I'm thinking about doing it.
Well, I'm wondering why. There must be a difference, because if Vine was to fail, why would TikTok succeed?
Well, that's the thing. I think it's only really got a small, short shelf life, because the thing about Vine was, what was it anyway, you know?
My understanding was Vine was just Twitter but for videos, so short, sharp,
six
bang,
seconds.
Done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that can only be 6 seconds. So this thing is short, but you can add, like, music to it, and it's basically, from what I understand, it's like as if Vine and Snapchat had a baby. So you can do lots of little, there's lots of filters and interesting stuff you could put on there. But yeah, it's
3 to 15 seconds you're allowed to do. 3 to 15.
Yeah, actually, it was the girl that I met that with the big tits and the tattoos on the Instagram that we were both talking about before. That was trying to get me onto TikTok, and I'm like, yeah, I'm barely on Instagram.
So TikTok, I have been thinking of signing up to TikTok, though. I at least see how this is a little bit different to...
Maybe we should do it together. Maybe you and I should hold hands and walk over the threshold of TikTok together. And, like, I'd feel a little bit more confident walking into this unknown world if I had a good friend, an old mate beside me, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've had it promoted to me through a cricket podcast I listen to, interesting enough. So they're red hot on it, and they're middle-aged men.
Okay, so I'd say within the next 24 hours, you and I will both have one follower and following one person.
Right.
At least.
Well, assuming you can follow people, I imagine you can.
Yeah, no, I do know that. I have heard that it's just the hot thing right now. The thing is, by the time I'd even heard of Vine, it had already died.
Right.
So I was a bit behind on that. Yeah, I kept hearing about, I'm all about the Vine and all the Vines on social media. I'm like, what is this Vine? What am I missing out on? And then I Googled it, and it said something about how Vine has just been killed or something like that. It was shut down or whatever. So, yeah. No more Vine.
But no more Vine, mate. Out.
Yeah, so... Maybe for between this podcast and the next, we could investigate TikTok. In the next podcast, we can come back and report to Dear Listener what we found.
That would be fascinating.
So we'll have to make a note of that in our book somewhere, so we don't next podcast completely not talk about it. You know, completely forgotten about TikTok. Because it could happen. I mean, I'm a bit worried I'm going to get on TikTok and I'll be, you know, it's like I've walked into the wrong room. And look around and go, I'm not meant to be here. Sorry. You know.
The music stops.
That would be me.
Yeah. Or on TikTok, you see some geezer's taken a video of you performing at the pub where you've had a bit of a fail, perhaps. I know that doesn't happen very often. But check out this guy's rendition of Wicked Game.
Well, oh my God. Well,
reverse.
From what I understand, only people under 23 would see it, so it probably wouldn't make any difference to me.
Safe as houses.
See, I don't, because I know there's a lot of, like, Instagram influencers. It's a big thing, you know, if you've got, I heard someone the other day on a podcast say that unless you've got, you have to have more than 200,000 followers or else you're just a joke, someone said.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you won't even bother.
On Instagram.
On Instagram, unless you've got at least 200,000, it's like, forget about it, you know. So obviously you and I are way off that mark. Like, yes. So we aren't influencing anybody, which sucks because I've got a really great skin lotion that I think a lot of people would love to hear about. But anyway, whatever, you know, you wouldn't mind 10% off my swimwear.
Yeah. Well, we might have some influence. Perhaps Dear Listeners going to go check out Encyclopedia Brown now.
Yeah. Are we going to get a kickback though? From Encyclopedia, because that's how it works. We don't do the shit for free. I would expect maybe a few first edition Encyclopedia Brown books signed by the author.
I think just next time we have a mystery and you can't lay your hands directly on your torch and your
magnifying glass.
Magnifying glass. Maybe just 4 hours pro bono.
No, I want that book. No, I have to say, I want a signed copy of at least, if not like an actual monetary reward. I want the author to inscribe this on the inside cover. If it ain't brown, I ain't down.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? I think that would be cool. I would do it for that.
If it ain't brown, I'm not down, and it won't be found. The answer to your mystery.
Although I'm pretty sure that that phrase is referring to poo, so I guess maybe not. So it was cool. No, this is brown. Flush it down. Sorry, I get that all mixed. If it, yeah, no. No, it was right. Don't worry. Cutting room floor.
Well, what I do suggest, dear listener, though, if you go on Instagram, you should think of the people you might be interested in before you go on Instagram.
Right.
Otherwise, there's lots of you'll have no idea where to turn to.
Well, one thing I've hit on is because, like Facebook, I don't really follow people. I follow things. And I like jokes and interesting facts. So if you, on Instagram, follow one little Instagram account that does things like that, suddenly you'll get, like, absolutely smashed with suggestions in a similar vein. And I've actually been having a lot of fun with Instagram lately because there's only so many photos of people's lives I want to see. They get pretty boring and mundane. But let me give you an example. I'll just bring up my Instagram again and go to my thing. So, okay, first thing that popped up on my feed is from Fact Maniac, is a new thing I've started following. And it says this: according to the National Institute of Health, one out of every 2,000 to 3,000 babies are born with teeth. Thank you, Fact Maniac. That's why I follow him.
Oh, Fact Maniac. I thought it was Fat Maniac.
No Chet here. Although I'd love to know what Chet's up to. Do you reckon he's still around?
No, I think that overweight chubbiness finally got to him, I'm dare say.
Right. Well, if he's still around, I'd imagine he would have been on Instagram for like a week before he got sick of it. He got bored, moved to something else, went to TikTok.
At least when the next mystery started, he.
Because that's how they sold it at the end. Is some the criminal mastermind put his whereabouts on a post on TikTok.
Big mistake.
Rookie error.
Even a kid with a torch and a magnifying glass could work that out.
And a transistor radio, don't forget, just, you know, you need that.
That's in case you got a stakeout.
You need that, yeah. And I don't know why, but one of my most prized possessions also, when I think about that little, you know, bunch of things I liked, I had a clip seal bag. You know what? You know the kind of bag that you keep coins in at a bank?
Yeah, like a Ziploc.
Yeah, Ziploc bag.
Oh, yeah.
But it actually had the writing on the side, you know.
Yeah, of course.
20 cent pieces.
How many 20p coins?
Exactly,
20 cent coins to put in
it. But it was filled with random sized and colored rubber bands.
Oh.
Yeah. I love that thing. We're talking about pure entertainment. You know, between my magnifying glass and my torch and my handheld transistor radio, that small bag of random rubber bands, elastic bands or whatever, that, so many uses.
I think I was fascinated too by when, you know, you used to get, like a stack of coins wrapped up in, very tightly wrapped up in brown paper from the bank with its amount on it.
That was fun, yeah.
I'm fascinated by those as well.
Yeah, because you
see them in normal life normally.
Well, your parents, your family owned a retail shop, so you would have had a bit of experience with the coins rolled up there, you know, with the cash register perhaps.
Yeah. Can't think of many, but yeah.
That wasn't your job to rip out the 5 cent piece roll, you know. That was mine. When I worked a bit of retail, I couldn't wait for one of those. Very satisfying.
Yeah, to go from organized to chaos. Yes, you have enjoyed that.
I actually used to, because I really enjoyed counting the money in the till at the end of the day. I know that was a task that a lot of people hated, but I actually really enjoyed it. Did you ever, was that ever your job at any point?
Oh, certainly, yes, yeah. In fact, I do quite a bit of counting to this day.
Oh, really? You actually do a till? You count the
till,
cash in the till?
But I count money.
Oh, you count. You're a bean counter.
Yeah,
cool.
And when I was volunteering at the charity shop, I did quite a bit of that as well. Yes, had to the first day I did it at the tail at the till, I was 10 pounds light, so I actually got 10 pounds out of my wallet to put into the till because I didn't want my first day to be out. Well, I thought it was for charity, I suppose, and my my ego.
The biggest donation to charity that day was made by you.
Double their intake.
maybe they were messing with the figures and sucking that money out of your wallet deliberately.
Oh,
yeah, they saw you coming, mate.
Scam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Were you working for a Nigerian prince?
Yes. The charity was to aid Nigerian princes who happened to be down on their luck.
There's so many of them. I don't know what's going on over in Nigeria with their royal family, but yeah.
Very complicated guys. Financial arrangements.
Exactly, yeah. Those guys need an accountant stat, you know. I don't know what's happening over there. I think they've just, look, they've just made some unlucky choices, I think, financially. They invested in stopwatches and torches. I think that was the problem.
Cohen, old boy. Reality TV, what's all that about?
Oh, I'm a bit of a closet reality TV fan. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell any of my friends.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised to hear that.
Well, okay, selected. Very, very few selected. Yeah, I do. Me and my sister have our secret shame is that we like the United States version of The Bachelor and any Bachelor-related shows like The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise, but only the U.S. version, not the local ones.
It is something you have to share with someone else, I think. The only time I've ever got interested in it was when I was living in a big share house and we were all watching Big Brother together, mainly for the titillation.
Yeah, it's a bitch fest. You would sit there with, in my case, my sister, and we're just going, oh, my God, she's so fake. You know.
Your sister? That's terrible. I hope she's not listening.
Yeah, she doesn't.
She gave up for that episode one.
Episode one, yeah. She was a devoted listener in episode one. Yeah, yeah. And then she pretty much got the gist of it, and that was it. But, yeah, we do watch a little bit of reality TV. What about you? Are you, besides, you know, Big Brother way back when, have you indulged in anything?
I try to... I see the appeal if it's well done. First of all, it has to be kind of well, obviously slickly produced for it to work. But I don't want the subject matter to be too venal. I suppose I don't think there's probably reality TV shows made for me. Maybe that's what documentaries are. I prefer documentaries because I like it a little bit more academic. Or just the facts, ma'am, just the facts.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, if you could have your own reality TV show, like what do you think would
take you your fancy? Asked.
I'm glad.
Well, I was going through some notes, and we did talk about this once before. I don't know if it was on the podcast or off the podcast or in a podcast planning meeting where we were no ideas, bad idea.
Oh, is that the meeting where I was at my cubicle and you came in and kicked my feet off the desk and told me to straighten up and fly right?
That's right. I said, listen, Skippy, too much for the ethnic slurs. Now, we talked about maybe that would be an idea of having a I'm going to call it put together band, right? So a reality show where we follow somehow you select the starting members of a band and they have to live in a house together. So maybe the first couple of episodes are auditioning. And then the show producers, or the Svengali, if you like, Simon Cowell, selects the first five. They go into a house and they've got a jam, and then they've got to do a gig the next weekend. And that's what the big Saturday edition is about, or the big Sunday edition about how the gig went and how the musicians worked together and who practiced and who cocked up and who was conniving who. And then on the Monday or the Sunday after the gig, perhaps the musicians have to vote which one they're going to vote out of the band. And at the same time, they're also, when they're in the house, they're hearing auditions and they have to vote who's going to replace that person.
Wow. So this has kind of got a little bit of all the best, all the best reality TV shows. It's got a little bit of the Voice in it. It's got a little bit of The Apprentice. A little bit of Bachelor, a little bit of Big Brother. It's all there, you know.
Yeah. And then why not slap in the other popular reality TV device? Let's make it the gigs are a wedding gig. They have to play at weddings. So then you can interview the each week you have a bit of a side story about the married couple and what they're hoping for and how they interact with the band.
Exactly. You've got to have a bridezilla element to it all. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you can choose really disparate wedding couples who apply to have the wedding band play. And, you know, you could have a redneck couple and a highfalutin couple and a video game playing couple, you know, those couples.
Yeah, so I mean, I just thought because we mentioned The Apprentice and some guy who's apparently now president of the United States used to be on The Apprentice.
That doesn't sound right.
No, maybe I got my facts wrong there, but I think if we had what we need is that guy, but the version for this, and I want to nominate Rock and Roll's Grumpiest Man, drummer and lead singer for the Eagles, Don Henley.
Oh, yeah? Get him in there?
Yeah, I reckon he'd be, because he's very straight up, and he doesn't suffer fools gladly.
Let me just check his Instagram, see what he's doing.
Yeah, let's do that. Can you bring it up? See what he's doing. See, he's got a few holes in the calendar. I mean, so apparently some of the Eagles are no longer with us, so...
How do you spell Henley?
H-E-N-L-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
See what he's. He's probably the kind of guy that's so grumpy.
He's not even blue ticks.
He's not on Instagram. He's the kind of guy that wouldn't. No, he's not. I reckon he's so grumpy. He's not on the gram.
Right. So you're hoping to scoop him up for this television show, though?
I think so. I think I think that this is how I'd put it to him. You would get to basically yell at teenagers.
Right.
And he'd be like, yeah, cool. I love that.
I think it has to be a bit more Z-list, though, doesn't it? Like, high up, but it's kind of Z-list.
You mean the host?
I'm thinking maybe one of the guys from Bros.
Well, have you seen that Bros documentary?
No, I said I would, but I haven't.
It's amazing. That actually probably is a really good suggestion, because those guys... yeah, they have a complete lack of self-awareness, which is what you need in reality TV.
Yeah.
That would work. Yeah, so we can have a few judges. So maybe, you know, the lead singer of Bros, Don Henley, and maybe someone else for a bit of diversity.
Well, we're going to have different, no doubt we'll have great success in a one country to start with. So we're going to have different versions in different countries. So where's the original going to be?
Well, I would say
in England.
England or the US. I mean, I can't wait for the Danish version of Put Together Band.
That'd be awesome.
Or the Norwegian one, maybe hosted by Morten Harket from A-ha.
Please.
Yeah.
You go, what you got to do first is nail down the video clip.
Yeah, you got to have that clip. I mean, yeah, if you're going to, Morten, if anyone knows, Morten Harket knows that you're going to have a fantastic song and a fantastic clip, and then you can just pretty much have that for the rest of your life.
Oh, they wrote some great songs, aha. Ooh.
Well, they wrote that one great one.
Was it at least two good aha songs?
They had a couple of average ones, but really, I mean, if you're going to have one song, that's a pretty good one to have.
Yeah. I can remember you saying to me something that's always stuck with me. You probably said it to me in 1994. You said that when Sting wrote a song, it stayed wrote.
It stayed something wrote.
I don't think that was quite it, but
no, it wasn't.
You knew how to write a song. You were praising him.
Well, yeah, that sounded like you were mangling that with one of our favorite cricket commentators' things. When he hits that ball, it stays hit. Is that what you... It sounded like that's where that was going.
Maybe. I wonder what you did say. I mean, 25 years ago, it just got mangled.
Oh, look, you know, anything could have happened. There was a lot of weed smoking going on then, 25 years ago. I mean, we were a couple of young fellas. We didn't know what was what. But for sure. So, like, okay, we start this show in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of... them being a wedding band and getting the wedding couple in, because like I said, you've got like a side story there. But then the wedding couple get to dictate what songs the band has to learn for that week.
Well, getting
the guys right out of their comfort zones, sure, for example, if sure. They just want heavy metal tunes, or next week they just want, something different.
Well, let me throw this at you, that each week as the competition hots up, that there's a hurdle, and I think one of those weeks should be the wedding week. But, like, maybe another week could be things like now they have to go and play at a, really hardcore...
Oktoberfest.
Yeah, or a hardcore bar where there's chicken wire and people abusing them and throwing, they have to do that kind of gig, And then maybe a kid's party,
So I like it.
They're put through their paces, they're really... They have to, be put in all sorts of different situations for sure, And then maybe at the very end they get to do the big concert. They get to do their big, the big room, Maybe, who I'd love to see hosting or at least judging on the panel of the UK version? Liam Gallagher.
Get him involved.
Liam or Noel, both, hopefully. Because what you want is, you want some guy sending rockets up them, And I think those guys could do it.
Somehow I don't think Liam Gallagher has got appearing on a reality television show on his bucket list.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man, I'll do it, yeah. Yeah, I'll do it, fuck it, yeah. That's not a fucking right, man, yeah.
But I don't see where would the judges come in? I've got the musicians voting people out. Are we going to have judges or vote people out?
Well, look, I've seen plenty of reality show where there's judges that don't really seem to do shit other than just say dumb stuff and insult people. It's just all, fun of the...
Because if you had the current five or six, whatever it is, who's in the house, who have to vote which one of them gets kicked out, but then also vote as they watch all the auditions who gets to come in, mm-hmm. You could form power triangles, because when the new person came in, you could say to them, I voted for you, I championed for you, so you're subservient to me now, form some sort of power block.
Right, well, there's so many angles here. But what you eventually want to end up with is the best possible put-together band in the UK.
Well, not necessarily, because you could get the six best musicians in the band, and then by the end of the week, look, you got to break it up. Someone's got to go.
Right. Okay. Right. Well, sounds like a real roller coaster for all involved.
Exactly.
But I guess that's rock and roll.
It sure is.
It's a fickle business.
And you can mix it up one week by saying we're not just adding one person this week, we're adding the person you guys auditioned and chose for, but also here's an extra triangle player that you've never heard of before. Bam, they're in the mix.
Right, okay. So what happens, the band play, they do one of these gigs, maybe they do their wedding, and the bass player's a little bit behind. He's not in the pocket, you know what I mean? The bass player's just not in the pocket. And he gets voted out, But do they replace him with another bass player, or they go, let's try something else out. Let's get a keytar in.
Good point. Yes, because you could wind up with, Well, you'll have to guide me through how that would work, because,
Well, look, it's, yeah.
Well, maybe on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? 4 days of the week, that's when the auditions happen, and you have an audition for each role within the band,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So Tuesdays, it's the lead guitarist or lead vocals, and if you vote out the lead vocals, then you have to choose one of those guys from Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, okay, that sounds good. Absolutely, you're right, because it needs to be like a show that's on like 4 nights a week at least.
And then what you could do then is, obviously, you need the lead vocalist, you choose him from the Tuesday show. That means no one from the Monday show for the drummer got chosen. So they can hang around, or the audience can vote on who stays in that pool. Maybe True. The audience gets rid of one out of that pool.
Or maybe Phil Collins, and you can lead, sing, and drum, and just throw a whole spanner in the works, That'd be awesome. Maybe even Don Henley himself, Talking about some of the best drummer singers.
You really want to get Don Henley involved, don't you?
I really do. I really do want to get him in there. I think he'd have a lot to say.
How are you aware that he's so grumpy?
You should watch the Eagles documentary on Netflix. That'll give you a fairly...
Well, lighting up. I've got the Eagles, Bross. Any other good ones?
Well, they're the two best. I'm not kidding.
Mm.
You have to watch the Bross documentary. You have to watch the Eagles documentary on Netflix. There is two very, very different, but very, very rewarding documentaries. One of one of the greatest bands of all time and the other, Bross.
No, I know I've just been trumping really my great idea for a reality television show, but I also think I'd be great at making a documentary.
Well, that could
love
be
the form.
Yeah. We'll spitball a lot of ideas, just as long as at the end that I'm in it, you know.
You want to be in the put together band?
Well, maybe that's the prize, is that they get in the end get to be my backing band.
Yeah. That's the prize that they get the number one Christmas single next year.
The Christmas number one. Oh, we all want the Christmas number one. I wonder who got the Christmas number one in 2019. I wonder who that was.
I believe it was a kind of a parody song about sausage rolls for charity.
Are you kidding?
In the UK, do you mean?
Yeah, because the Christmas number one is a thing. It's really only a thing in the UK, I'm pretty sure.
No, I heard this chat at my family at Christmas time. The last 2 years has been like a family who found a bit of fame by singing a song called "I Love Sausage Rolls." And then that went viral, and they somehow turned it into a single they released for charity. And it was number one last year, and this year is another song about sausage rolls. You want me to Google it?
I'm just trying to figure out whether you're kidding me or not. This is real? I can't tell. I could go either way on this.
That's true, yeah.
Am I being trolled? Yeah. I love sausage rolls. Or is it a long way to the shop if you want a sausage roll?
Well, you can't, you know, they could do that next year. That's classic AC/DC. Highway to Hell? No, what's that from?
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Oh, of course.
It's a long way.
Here we go.
Okay.
So there's it's a husband and wife team. Very much people next door called Lad Baby, L-A-D Baby, Lad Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And last year they had a hit about sausage rolls. Here we go. Following last year's rework of Starships, We Built This City as an ode to sausage rolls.
Yeah. Okay, give me a taste of that. How did they turn We Built This City into something about sausage rolls? Can I get a taste of the lyrics?
I'm going to have to Google those too.
Please do. I can't.
Who doesn't mind a bit of Google shit, especially when the background
music kicks in.
Music is
right
fantastic.
About now.
Try not to fart in that elevator. Here we go. Okay, the two. You're on the edge of your seat for this, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, so was this the first single? This is the first one. The one to We Built This City.
Apparently, yes. Yep.
Okay.
So here we go. Almost there.
Okay, I'll just get my guitar and I'll see if I can create with you as you...
Okay. Here we go. We built this city. Right, you ready?
Yep. Yeah. You go.
We built this city. We built this city on sausage rolls. Built this city. That's basically it.
We built this city on sausage rolls. We built this city on sausage rolls. Okay, so that was the big hit of 2018, yep. Christmas number one.
That's right. And now they followed up this year with I Love Rock and Roll. I bet you can't guess how they've changed those lyrics.
Let me have a go at it. Here we go. Put another. Okay, tell me. From a sausage roll anecdote. I actually, with a group of my friends, we were talking about trying to rebadge the sausage roll and call it a mince finger. No luck, unfortunately. That's a true story.
I don't mind that.
A mince finger. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. Thing is, I don't really like sausage rolls. If I could be controversial.
Sausage rolls are one of those things, and if you get a good one, it will tide you over 6 months, but well, 3 out of 5 aren't too great.
I feel myself picking off the pastry halfway through.
Well, no, I'm a bit of a sad sack for the pastry.
So you're the other way, you sort of eat the pastry and you're a bit nonplussed.
Yeah, more likely to leave the meat behind.
Right. Maybe we should go and get a sausage roll together. We wouldn't waste it.
All right. Well, I finally got there.
Okay.
Singing, I love sausage rolls, so put another one in the oven, baby. I love sausage rolls, so eat it up with ketchup or gravy.
Ketchup or gravy? Oh, my God. And that went to number one?
That's what they do in England.
Bloody hell. Or should I say ruddy hell?
Oh, ruddy hell. English. I wonder if I could... You might be interested to see what the figures were on this. I wonder if I can find out
As in how much money was made for charity or I love sausage rolls? This is 2 years in a row, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe that. I mean, I know that the UK Christmas number one has often gone to a novelty song single, but that's next level.
Well, interesting fact I just discovered. Weird Al Yankovic has parodied this song, I Love Rocky Road. Probably a B-side somewhere.
Oh, my God. Poor old Joan Jett. It's like, no one's taking my song seriously.
This is... Yeah. I did not expect this when I signed up for the Put Together Band auditions. Yeah,
although she would be getting a sweet little paycheck from Sausage Rolls and Rocky Road.
Anyway, I can't find out, but it did go to number one, so there you go.
Right. Well, not that that means anything anymore when a song goes to number one. It used to mean, you know, untold riches, but now, who knows?
What happened is Simon Cowell started doing his UK Idol, or whatever it was called, and the whole plan of that show was to get the winner to sing a single, which would then become the Christmas number one, which had nothing to do with Christmas, except for the time it was released. And after a while, because, I mean, it was a very popular show, and that did work for 5 or 6 years, and I think after about the 6th year, the rest of the population who weren't totally dialed into UK Idol said, this is bullshit, right? So 1 year they voted, there was a re-release of Killing in the Name Of. That was the Christmas number one single because there was a protest movement to buy that single.
Right, okay. Well, this is, there's so much more to this than I first realized. But I did know
Christmas
that,
singles, what's all that about?
Yeah, I did know that it wasn't necessarily a monetary attraction, but there was a real prestige of being the person that held the number one spot in the week of Christmas. That was just one of the... something. It's, I think it really is just a UK thing.
Yes, I think it is.
Really just saying, yes, we got the number one song the week of Christmas. Yay, you know.
It's obviously very important because I'm pretty sure that's how Cal designed that whole show, was to result in the Christmas single being, you know, from his show. Here we go.
Oh, we've got some
right,
figures.
So we're going with normal kind of songs up until the first one, I think, is 2005.
Okay.
There's someone called Shane Ward. I think he's a reality TV singer, yeah?
Jesus.
And then there was about, let's see, so from 2005 to 2008, it looked like it was winners of the UK Idol, whatever it was. Then 2009, Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name Of, was the Christmas number one single in the UK.
Nice. Man, you have to admit, every time the UK does something lame, they do follow it up with something awesome. You got to give it to the UK. There's a real push and pull over there that the Americans could learn something from. which I do like. That was pretty. That's a boss move.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And shows you the power of social media.
Some of those that weren't forces. Great song though.
Mm. So let's. I'm interested to work out what type of different gigs we could get our put together band to play at. We said wedding, Oktoberfest, yeah. Chicken Wire,
Chicken
Blues
Wire.
Brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Redneck Bar.
Redneck Bar, totally. Yeah. The kids' party, you know, like a Wiggles.
Kids' party, love that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
that's tough. The tough gig. They do dance. The kids love to dance, but they're bored easily. And they don't have any sense of boundaries, as I've found. They'll just come and start touching your expensive stuff. Okay, where else? How about this? Like a retirement home, like an old, like an old, you know, old-fashioned dance. So you have to be able to, like, take it down a notch. Could have played for the
That's
oldies.
Right. Wow, and also somehow they would be requesting the songs.
Yeah.
Right? You don't let the bands just shoot the songs.
And then you have to play at a bar that's like a party venue, like a beach resort kind of thing, like a...
Right, yep.
You know
and then
mean?
Maybe we could fly them in for 1 week to play on a cruise ship.
Cruise ship, yeah, you got to do that. Actually, maybe a little bit more, because part of the thing about being on a cruise ship is that you go a little bit stir-crazy. So that would be great reality TV, is seeing the band start, like, you know, turning on each other.
Yeah, because well, we already got cabin fever. Stayed in that together in a house.
Oh, look, it's going
to
be...
We're ready to push them over the edge by sticking them in cabins.
Oh, it'll be a dissection of them psychologically. It'll be fun to watch. I'm totally down. So, yeah, that's a great start there. I mean, that's,
have we got a better name than Put Together Band? Bullshit band.
Bullshit band? Yeah, that might
this
get...
This is bullshit.
How are we going to get that past the censors?
I'm sure one of the musicians will say.
This is a bullshit band. How about Sausage Factory?
Dear listener, I don't mean to pull up abruptly, but it's time to stop this show, and we stop the show with a showstopper. Where dear old boy Kerwin will play a lovely song. And you can request one if you tweet us at podcastkak or send us an email, podcastkak@gmail.com.
Well, we've been talking about so many songs and so many things tonight.
I've got some suggestions. I think you might have chosen one already by the sounds of that. But Eddie Van Halen, bit of Jump, maybe. What's the Frequency, Kenneth? We can ask him again. He didn't know earlier, might know now, by R.E.M.
Oh, I think you might have hit on something there with a bit of Van Halen.
Because,
that
might
song
as well.
Very dear to me. Let's see if I can do something with that song to avoid a copyright strike.
Hang on. Are we trying to get copyright strikes or trying to avoid them?
Avoid them, you know, because if I do it too well, we get in trouble.
I thought it was an affirmation that your cover was so spot on, even though it was done acoustically in Albert Hall.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the only time we really got a copyright strike was for my excellent version of Leaving on a Jet Plane by John Denver.
Oh, no, I think good. About every fifth or sixth episode we get copyright strike.
Really? I didn't know that. So
we should start playing a game. I'll report back next episode, dear listener.
Yeah, let's see all the copyright strikes. I would love to hear that. Maybe you should march into my cubicle and kick my feet off my desk and tell me to straighten up and fly right. Okay, so here we go. Here's a little bit of Van Halen. Baby, just how you feel. gotta roll with the punches and get to what's real. Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against a record machine. Get the word that you see. I can't you see what I mean? Yeah, I might as well jump, jump. Might as well jump. Yeah, jump. Go ahead and jump. Just a quick
one. Wow, you did jump.
I did jump. I jumped right off and then splashed into the water, to my watery grave.
You were standing above water. That's good, though. Yeah, I didn't realize you were going to jump. So I thought there was going to be a bit more drama on the roof edge.
Well, it starts to get a bit... you jumped. It gets a bit fruity after that, and look...
And one thing those boys in Van Halen wanted to avoid was ever looking fruity.
So true.
Well, that's all very well, Cohen, but that does leave our dear listener with one question.
Indeed it does, Kelso.
What's all that about?
I will chat to you on the next episode, and don't forget, you can tweet us with any of your discussion ideas on Podcast KAK on Twitter, and also email us at podcastkak@gmail.com.
Thanks very much for listening. It really does mean a lot to us. If you have a jolly good friend, why don't you tell them about our show, as that's how we hope to grow our audience. And if you have time, you're not too busy stealing our great band together reality television idea and selling it to the highest bidder, perhaps you could give us a sweet 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice.
Till next time.
Hooroo.
See you later.